Are you a brand new real estate investor still trying to get your first deal done, but you simply don't have the funding for it? Or are you a wholesaler? You've done some deals, you've collected some assignment fees, but there's some deals you want to stay in, but you can't because you don't have the funding. Or are you a seasoned real estate investor and you just want more funding at super cheap interest rates? If you answered yes to any of those questions, don't go anywhere because I'm getting ready to plug you into the money. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Private Money Academy podcast. I'm Jay Connor, your host, also known as the Private Money Authority. And wow, I'm just so excited to have you here as a guest on the show, tuning in. And we've got another amazing show lined up for you today. If you've been tuning in, you know I have amazing guests. Today is no exception. But before I introduce my guest, I have got a absolutely free, brand new private money guide that I want to gift to you just by being here listening or watching to the show. And the name of this guide, it's a PDF. You can download it absolutely free. The name of this is 7 Reasons Why Private Money Will Skyrocket Your Real Estate Business and Help You Build Incredible Wealth. If you want funding for your deals, if you want to get started in private money, or you're already using private money, but you want to get cheaper interest rates, you want to download this free guide. I just finished writing it. You can get it at jayconner.com, jayconner.com/money guide. That's one word, money guide, G-U-I-D-E, money guide. You can download it. You're going to want to get this private money guide right after the show. Make sure you make note of that URL and get it. Well, today my guest is recognized as one of the leading commercial real estate executives, and he is CEO of a company called Navigator CRE. So here's the deal. He leads the Navigator SRVS and the CRE operations and deployment teams with a focus on enterprise client success. So he's scaling this company all across the industry. Now, many real estate companies, real estate investors are using like a bunch of outdated systems to view their tenant and property data. So his company, the Navigator CRE, makes analyzing data so much easier by becoming like the central data hub. Now, just in August last year, the company raised over $17 million in funding to get this thing going. Well, my guest, he's got a BA in economics from the University of Texas. My wife, Carol Joy, would love to hear that. Also, he's got his MBA in finance and entrepreneurship from Southern Methodist University. I can already tell we got a lot in common. So anyway, he's a noted speaker. He's a noted author, a blogger within the growing prop tech sector. He's spoken at conferences around the world on next generation real estate technologies. Well, when he's not working, which sounds like he's working a lot, but when he's not working, he loves to spend time with his 2 daughters. He's also an avid athlete. And check this out. He's a 2-time Ironman triathlete. My guest and I do not have that in common. Nonetheless, I'm so excited to have on the show with me today, Kevin Stoffman. Hello, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Jay, thank you for having me on.
My land, you look like an Iron Man.
I had those days, I wish they were still active. But once you got 2 little girls running around and a debate on whether we're going to have a 3rd or not, I don't get to training nearly as much as I wish I could.
I hear you, man. So tell us your backstory. Give us your autobiographical backstory that led you up to where you are today.
Yeah, a pretty traditional route. Few years of investment banking, then an MBA, then management consulting. Never thought I'd run a tech company. I've been in commercial real estate, you know, since I got out of college almost 18 years ago. And where this industry began heading was the largest owners, operators data of real estate said, we need more information. Our investors are asking for it. Our regulators are asking for it. We need to provide them with information so they continue to give us more money so that we can deploy it across every real estate stage, life cycle, property type, geography. And so I joined Navigator 2.5 years ago as their COO. And as you mentioned, we've raised a bunch of money, landed some pretty big names, Blackstone, Starwood Capital, Newmark, Prologis. And so we're growing as fast as we can. And now I manage a team of over 50 people.
That's awesome. So tell us about your commercial real estate investing experience and career. What kind of deals did you do?
All across the map. So we did some Class A office deals that included build-to-suit refinances and capital allocations. We did industrial and logistics deals, which obviously in today's market have accelerated. We did some market rate multifamily and some student housing, which I remain very bullish on. And we've more recently, the family office that I advise, have gotten a lot more into single family residential and single family for rent, the SFR space, which it seems like institutional money is now flowing into that space.
Gotcha. So when you started in commercial real estate, what were some of your early struggles and challenges?
Well, I mean, you know, a little biased here, right? But access to the right information, right? It was, you know, what was cost of capital going to look like when we were underwriting a deal, which I know you spent a lot of time with your audience, helping them access capital at a more reasonable rate. Secondly, accurate tenancy information, right? Who was inside the buildings? How much were they paying? What was their credit like? Did they have any delinquency risk or business risk? And then infrastructure information around the asset. So access, ingress, egress, utilities and maintenance, deferred maintenance inside the building. And then when COVID happened, and you might have investors that have run into this, but are lockdowns or shutdowns or masking orders, anything affecting the viability of the real estate access, that, you know, the asset inside of it, and then access to it outside.
I got you. So let's go ahead and drill down on Navigator CRE. So break down first for us, what does the CRE stand for?
Commercial real estate.
There you go.
We're real estate first, technology second. Everybody involved in the company was a real estate operator or investor before joining Navigator.
Interesting. So let's drill down. What services does your company provide and who is your client?
So think of Navigator as a decision acceleration engine at the executive level. So where should we buy? Who should we lease to? How much should we charge? Who's behind on rent? What ESG metrics do we need to track? What other technologies should we integrate with? How should we optimize our portfolio mix? How profitable is my best operating partner, my best broker, my best and worst tenant? All of that information, right? It gets stored in a bunch of different places. It could be in an accounting system. It could be as in an enterprise system like Yardi. It could just be in QuickBooks. It could be in some Excel spreadsheet on your computer. It could be on a notepad on your desk. And then there's a bunch of other systems, right? Construction and development information, leasing information, treasury, investor relations, ESG, across the board. You have all this data sitting in a bunch of different places. And depending on how big your investing operation is, it may just be you as a single person, but you may be representing a larger company that has different departments. Nobody wants to learn each other's tool to manage information. They just want access to that information so we can all collaborate and make decisions quicker. If I know most of your listeners are in the, you know, single family residential space and are buying homes and rehabbing them, flipping them, et cetera. Think about all the data that goes into what might make you purchase a home. What market is it in? What are the schools like? What are nearby comps? What is the floor plan and layout? Are there additional expansion opportunities in a master plan community or a different neighborhood? What are the HOA dues? What is the maintenance like? What work orders are outstanding? What's the turn time between getting a tenant in and out if they're renting? If you're going to try to sell, how accurate is your estimate versus a Zillow estimate? There's a bunch of different data that you need to have access to in order to act quickly in today's market, because you need to bid on a deal, sometimes sight unseen, when other investors are trying to bid on the same deal. So the more data you have and the more access to cheap and affordable capital that you have, and you can combine to move quickly, you're going to outperform the market.
So would you say that the one of the big services that your company provides is helping a real estate investor or a real estate investing firm analyze a deal and help make the decision as to whether you should move forward or not?
That's usually step one, right? Is find the right deals before your competitors do. So we have a mapping interface where all the potential properties are on a map. And then you can click on one of those properties and critical information pops up around that office building, industrial warehouse, multifamily complex, single family home, right? What's important about that asset, right? When it was built, when it was refurbed, who owns it, who manages it, what the current rent is, are there any outstanding work orders, is there any debt attached to the property, et cetera, all that information. And then we provide a dashboarding interface so you can look at various components of that one property or of an entire portfolio of multiple properties.
That's amazing. Well, your company, Navigator CRE, must be pulling this data from just many multiple sources of information and like compiling it all in one easy to use interface where all of it's right there.
I should hire you as my sales guy. Yeah, typically about when we start with a client, it's typically just three or four different sources of data. It could be internal data, it could be market data. But by the time we're done rolling out somebody's full portfolio, especially if they're a big company like Blackstone or Starwood or whatever, we've got 25, 30 different data sources all rolling into the platform.
That's amazing. So if you take a look at your clients across the board, what percentage of your clients would you say are like real estate investor like Jay Connor? And, you know, I've got three full-time employees and, you know, I'm doing two or three deals a month here in a real little small area versus, you know, some huge company. What's that mix look like?
Yeah, it's about an 80-20 mix where the bulk of our customers are larger enterprises. And that's because the larger the portfolio, the more complex your tech stack's going to look like. You're managing a bunch of different properties, you're pulling data from a lot of different places. If you are, you know, doing everything in Microsoft Excel and QuickBooks, and you're able to manage that business with just those two systems, and your employees are reporting to you information when you need it, and you have good relationships with, you know, private capital sources that are good with just that information, you probably don't need Navigator, right? Although I'm willing to meet with anybody and provide advice and discuss what you should and should not be using. The bigger and more complex you get, the more quicker and easier the value prop for a company like Navigator.
I got you. So Kevin, I'm going to switch gears on you big time right now. Yeah. I'm all about mindset. You know, what is it? What are the characteristics and traits of an individual that really drive them to succeed? And you know, there's commonalities among successful entrepreneurs. There's commonalities among, you know, CEOs and COOs of companies. So sort of hitting you here from left field. So just speak from your heart and you'll do great. First of all, and don't worry about being shy here, not that you are, but what would you say it is, what characteristics, personality traits, disciplines, et cetera, do you personally see in yourself that has gotten you to where you are today? I mean, what is it about Kevin that, you know, has got you in that CEO seat? And my guess is some of those personality and characteristics would be transferable over to the entrepreneur. But what is it that got you to where you are and keeps you there?
Well, I'll start with, you know, when I was in grade school, right? A lot of it has to do with environment. So I had a lot of friends that were business motivated and entrepreneurial. My family also started a couple businesses themselves, and seeing the freedom, the autonomy, and even though there were a lot of ups and downs, the financial success when things went right, that was extremely exciting to me from a young age. So that helped me be motivated into what could I do to eventually be at a decision maker level at an enterprise where I had some ownership, where I had some equity? That was a big drive. Secondly, I've always been very, very physically active. And I can tell you that when you're a physically active person, that energy level also bleeds into work ethic and work schedule. So I've always been a fairly high energy person. That matters a lot. And I can tell when I have periods in my life where I become a little more apathetic or lethargic, that affects everything, right? That affects family life, that affects work life, that affects social life. And so the quicker I can get back to being physically active and bring that energy level up, I'm a more productive person and I'm a better C-level executive. Lastly, just that aspirational lifestyle, right? That you can always tell the mental and psychological feelings that you get when you close a deal or when you have a good interaction with somebody in a meeting or at an event or a conference. People that are often pretty extroverted are attracted to this type of lifestyle. If you don't get a dopamine hit when you interact with a prospect and have a good discussion, or when you close a deal, or when you're at an event and someone shows interest, then entrepreneurship may not be right for you. You need that motivation of dealing with people, because people get deals done.
Awesome. Do you have a morning routine?
I do. So it's changed a little bit with the kids. They've affected the time clock, but I always get up and I do something just called getting your 50. And people would think, what does that mean? Before my day starts and before my kids get up, regardless of what I did the night before, or full disclosure, right, how hungover I may or may not be, especially if I'm on the road at a conference and we go out the night before, I wake up every morning and I do 50 push-ups, 50 air squats, and 50 sit-ups, no matter how I'm feeling. That routine, and by the way, it took about 5 months with a lot of false starts before I was able to make that into a habit a few years ago. But now every morning, 365, I do that routine. And that is less for the physical component and what it does for my body, but it's more for the mental component of, I've been awake for 15 minutes and I've already accomplished something and my kids aren't even awake. And now I'm like, I have a different mindset going into the day. So when I wake up with my kids, I'm in a good mood because I'm already active. That gets contagious into their minds, no matter how much they slept. And then I get them to school and then I start my day.
That's awesome. And I can relate to you there, Kevin. My thing is Stairmaster. Stairmaster is my thing. And I actually have an actual Stairmaster.
All right.
With the original computer thing on there that still works, and it's got the chain, and it was my first thing I bought on the internet like 20 years ago. But yeah, I mean, it makes all the difference in the world when that blood flow is going. I get some of my best creative ideas when I'm not even working on anything. I'm just in the zone and I'm just doing it, you know. And I mean, the creativity is flowing, and maybe something that I've been working on just pops up, you know, just in my mind. And I wasn't even trying, you know, to find the answer for it. And I get where you're coming from on starting your day.
One other thing I would add there is, I used to be a guy that needed media all the time, right? I didn't want to do any activity that wasn't, you know, accompanied by like some sort of podcast, which I still find super valuable. Like when I'm doing laundry, AirPods are in and I'm listening to it, like, you know, a Jay Conner podcast. But the one area where I don't do that is in the shower after I work out and start my day. I don't listen to music. I don't listen to a podcast. I know a lot of people do that as their morning routine, and that, more power to you. But sometimes I just need time and space where I'm not distracted by work or family, other people, to let my ideas flow. And I find the shower to be the best place to just let my mind wander for 10, 15 minutes before my day gets going.
That's awesome. Well, you know, us entrepreneurs and the CEOs and the COOs, the highly driven people, one thing that I have a challenge with, and I've got a lot of friends that have a challenge with it, and that is having balance in your life not working every second, because quite honestly, I don't even view my work as work. It's like, it's what I do. It's like who I am. It's what I do, right? And so how do you bring in and keep balance in your life?
So this might not be the best answer depending on what personality type you are as a listener, but I actually have my assistant schedule time in my calendar that can't be double booked with work stuff. And that's typically an hour in the early evening of each weekday so I can spend time with my kids around dinner and bath time so that we can all bond together. And then a half day on the weekend, either on a Saturday or on a Sunday, depending on our social schedule, where nothing, people can't ping me, I'm on do not disturb, so that I can really spend time with family and more importantly, just get outside and enjoy nature. That having that every single week and having a little component every single day keeps it to where I don't get burned out.
That's awesome. There's a phrase that I coined. I'm sure I didn't come up with it, but I think I did. Anyway, one thing that I've said for years is that successes are scheduled. Successes just don't happen. And I'm not much of a believer in a to-do list. I say take your to-do list and get it on your calendar so it's scheduled. And the reason that comes to my mind, Kevin, is not only is success scheduled, but part of success is having that balance in your life, right? And if you don't get it scheduled, it sounds like you learned from experience, it just might get filled up with some other stuff that did not include your family and what we call actually relaxation and downtime. How far in advance do you schedule vacations?
It's either very, very far in advance, you know, 4 or 5 months, or it's extremely last minute, like you know, 3 or 4 hours. Oftentimes, so what I used to do when I was early on being an executive 5 or 6 years ago, I would try to do this thing where I looped on an extra couple days to a work trip or a conference, and I'd, you know, bring my wife up there and we would like try to make it work. And I'd be like, oh, look, work's paying for the travel. This makes it help. This helps vacation. What I learned is we couldn't really truly enjoy the vacation because work was on my mind, or we were in a city that we made it work because it was convenient. We've completely changed that up. And now we fairly far in advance plan a trip to somewhere we might not typically go to. And we spend enough time to where we can really dive into the culture and enjoy it.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Kevin, I appreciate you taking your filter off and actually sharing some of that inside stuff with our listeners. So, Kevin, I know we got listeners that want to continue the conversation with you. They want to contact you. They want to learn more about your company's service. So how can people continue the conversation with you?
Yeah, just reach out to me directly on LinkedIn, Kevin Stoffman, that my title's up there. And you can also check out our company, NavigatorCRE.com. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have, whether you do or do not become a client. I love talking to people.
That's wonderful. So for those of you that are listening, let me spell that for you. If you're looking for Kevin on LinkedIn, that's Kevin, K-E-V-I-N. His last name is spelled S-H-T as in Tom, O-F as in farmer, M-A-N. Again, that's S-H-T-O-F-M-A-N. And of course, you can locate him at his website, NavigatorCRE.com. Final comments, Kevin?
Just go out there, continue to be motivated. Success breeds success. Have a great time.
That's awesome. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to staying in touch, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
There you have it, folks. Another episode of the Private Money Academy podcast, Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor. And we really appreciate your reviews and your feedback. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And if you happen to be watching on YouTube, be sure and ring that bell, top that bell, tap that bell, so you're notified every time we come on with another episode. So we look forward to seeing you here on the next Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor. I'm Jay Connor, the Private Money Authority, wishing you all the best. Here's to taking your business to the next level. And we'll see you right here on the next Private Money Academy podcast.